As I mentioned earlier, we are blessed today to have with us Brenda Michaels and Marcia Mercant. And this is the first time Marcia has been here in this capacity on a Sunday. She does a lot of things. She's multi-talented, which many of us know. We've heard her sing. Have you ever danced? You've danced here. Yeah, she's moved. She's a multi-award-winning actress, singer from around the world. She has performed. You've probably heard her when you've called different numbers. Like, she does a lot of voiceovers. You know when you call Time Warner and the person sounds really pleasant? Like they really mean that they're sorry you have to wait? It's Marcia. You know, when you call the city, 311, and you say, what day do I put my recycling out? Or, where's my car? That's Marcia, who will answer your questions. But right now, she has a lot more to share with us, so please welcome Marcia Mercant.
My cover is blown. Don't shoot the messenger. People are like, Time Warner, I hate Time Warner. Just do the voice. Okay, well, so this is new. I have been on this stage many times. I've sung solo, I've sung with Spiritus, I've sung in Paul's Metaphysical Lessons according to Jerry Herman and Stephen Sondheim and Marvin Hamlisch and Maltby and Shire, and in his Metaphysical Lesson on the metaphysics of the musical Oliver, I played Oliver and Nancy, the street urchin and the hooker with a heart of gold. Yes, my range knows no bounds. But this is new, speaking at my spiritual home. The journey that brought me to this moment has been a most unexpected road. It's a journey that a couple, 3 years ago was not even on my radar. Not even that much. But one of the things that I have learned is that there is no greater gift we can give ourselves than the understanding that everything that happens in our lives is a gift. Everything. Breathe. Every challenge, every adversity, everything, no matter the appearance, and haven't we just been through something that looked pretty grim? No matter what it looks like, everything that happens is driving us towards our highest and best, making us look at ourselves in new ways that we didn't know we needed to look. And when we can call everything that happens in our lives good, our lives change in miraculous ways. We know the commonly accepted good things, right? The things that happen in life that are gifts. We understand the inherent good in a new baby or a wedding or a job promotion. But can we identify the gift of adversity? Can we see the good in divorce, the gift of financial challenges, the gift of losing a loved one? On February 23rd, 2011, I lost my best friend of 45 years to cancer. And it changed my life. It ripped my heart open in ways that I could not have imagined. And like all of us, I have had my share of heartache and adversity. But this was different. Losing Melinda, nothing had ever, ever hit me quite like that. I recently found a letter that I had written to my body during that time because there were like things happening in my body that I was like, holy crap, what is going on here? So actually, my friend Jim, who's not here today, Jim Williams, said to me, write a letter to your body. So I did. And in part, this is what it said. I feel 100 years old, brittle and inflexible. I can't imagine what is happening to me. Why, on top of all the sorrow and the tears, would you turn on me like this? Is it meant for me to slow down? Is it just one more way that mind, body, spirit makes sure we get the lessons from the rich experiences of our life? Is there a gift in this I'm not seeing? See, that's the thing about the gift of adversity. It's really hard to identify when you're in the middle of it. When you are rich and committed to that adversity, whew, it is hard to find the gift. What I was experiencing was a grief so profound, so cellular, that I literally couldn't do my work. I am an actor and a singer by profession. It's really the only profession I've ever known, the only thing I've ever really made a living at. But I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't bring myself to put on pretty dresses and go sing for people and have them judge me worthy or not. I started turning down auditions and booking out with my agents, just, I'm not available. Something had definitely shifted. And about 6 months after that, as I was just beginning to feel like I might be able to get back to my work, trying to look for the gift in the adversity, maybe even go back stronger and more connected to my soul than I had ever been, my husband John and I were in a death-defying car accident. The universe literally turned my life upside down in the form of our car being completely turned over and around. The carnival ride from hell, we called it. So clearly the universe and I had not finished our discussion. That's what I got out of that. And once again, I was thrown back into the pit of despair. I couldn't be around people, let alone try and go and put on my happy face and do my act. So I began to write. I wrote about my pain, I wrote about my grief, I wrote about my anger, I wrote about the injustice of it all. And that writing led me to a totally unexpected shift in my life. About 4 or 5 months after Melinda died, my friend Marianne Halpin called me with her own gift of adversity. She's a longtime friend of mine, a beautiful artist and photographer, and she had done a series of books, Fearless Women, you might have seen them. She's done Fearless Women, Fearless Aging, Fearless Women, Fearless Wisdom, and this third book that at that time she was working on called Fearless Women, Visions of a New World. And you may have seen that book for sale in our bookstore. It's a beautiful pictorial book with 50 women who are doing amazing things in the world. Our own Karen Fitzgerald is one of the women in the book with a fantastic picture of her in her burlesque outfit. You must see it. But she called me because she had lost one of her editors, and she wasn't calling me about that specifically. She was just calling as a friend for some support. And so we talked, and I, you know, talked her off the ledge, and about an hour into the discussion, this little voice in my head said, well, tell her you can edit it. And then simultaneously, another little voice over here that said, you don't know how to edit. No, tell her you can do it. What does that mean? Well, about 15 minutes of that conversation in my head, I hear out of my face comes, well, Marianne, I can edit it for you. And Marianne says, oh my God, would you? That would be so amazing. And I thought, oh my God, can I? I have no idea. But there I was. I had put it out into the world and made a commitment, and there you go. So I did edit that book and co-edited it. I did about 28 of the 50 stories in the book, and I had the immense honor of working with amazing women and helping them to mine their souls, to find what their gifts of adversity had been and pushed them into the amazing work that they were doing in the world today. And it was a tremendous honor and a humbling experience to do that. Women from all walks of life, from all different professions, and it was an extraordinary experience. There was a 3-day party to launch that book in Los Angeles, and I wasn't going to go, and I thought, it's just, I've done it, I don't want to spend the money, and blah, 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 blah. And again, the little voice said, no, go, this has been such an amazing experience. Go meet these women that I'd had these really intimate relationships with on the phone, helping them to tell their stories. And so I went to LA for the launch of this book. And at that event in Los Angeles, in the last couple of hours of the 3 days, I met Brenda Michaels. And she told me a most amazing story of her own gift of adversity. She had been diagnosed with cancer not once, not twice, but 3 times. Over 14 years. She told me that she had a manuscript that she'd wanted to get published for years and hadn't had much luck with it. And I said, you know, now I'm an editor, right? I got a book under my belt. I'm feeling pretty cocky about it. So I said to her, send it to me. You know, I'll look at it and I'll see if I think there's something I can do to help you. So a couple of months went by, I hadn't heard from her, so I reached out again and I said, you know, to see if she was still interested in having me look at it. Because I wanted to do something to honor my friend. I didn't want for her life and death to be just a statistic. I wanted to take the spirit that I felt she had infused into me and make that light shine in a way that honored her. And I felt that if I could help Brenda tell her story and reach people with this really important journey that she had been on and what she had learned, I felt that if I could help her tell that, I could spread the message of healing that my friend Melinda had dedicated her life to and didn't get a chance to finish on this plane. I needed to make that gift of adversity mean something in my world. So Brenda sent the manuscript to me, not an easy thing for her to do, turning one of your children over to someone who's basically a stranger. But she sent it, and I read it, just the beginning of it, I knew immediately what needed to happen with it. So I called her and I shared my thoughts and she was immediately on board. And we embarked on a most unexpected journey together to rewrite this book, to get an agent, subsequently get a publisher, and now find an audience. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you Brenda Michaels, who will tell you the rest of the story.
Good morning, everyone. Oh my God, it is such an honor for me to be here. I walked in this morning in the door and spirit just came over me. And I've been sitting in that chair fighting back the tears ever since. It's a privilege to stand before you and share my journey and to have someone like Marcia. I love you. Be a part of it. You know, I always wanted to be on Broadway. I just never thought I'd be in this capacity. Can I say, I'm an ex-actress who, because of the cancer, didn't continue. Because I was guided in a whole other direction. I know for a lot of people, the title of the book is confusing, maybe makes you angry. I had two ladies in Seattle who attended a talk that I did and said that at the last minute they weren't going to come because of the title of the book, because they both were going through cancer. But then after they heard me speak, they were really able to understand the message that I wanted to convey. And hopefully, I can touch your hearts with that message today. Because for me, cancer actually saved my life. Those many years ago, before I was diagnosed with the first bout of cancer, I was really a very unhappy, miserable person. A lot of my friends referred to me as the word I hate, which is bitch. But I could be, and I was. I was unhappy and resentful and angry, and I had felt that life had dealt me a really crappy deck of cards. And I couldn't figure out why God would abandon me like that. And why my life was so difficult and such a struggle, and why I lived in fear every day. I was afraid of everything. So when I look at adversity back then, I hated the word, I hated the thought of it. But when I got cancer the third time, and I was told I had about a year to live, if I refused chemotherapy, and I had refused it each time the cancer came, and I did that for personal reasons. I was told that I had about a year if I refused it again. And I was one of the very blessed ones. I don't think it's luck. I think we're all blessed. And I was one of the blessed ones the third time around that got a message. This wasn't something that needed to be attacked, something to be poisoned or burned away. But I actually got the message that this was a gift in my life. And when I was in meditation one day, I was given the title for the book. It wasn't easy to accept all of that then, because I'd never been connected to a voice like that before. That had never happened to me. But for the first time in my life, I was on my hands and knees praying, and I was humbled in a way that I had never been humbled before. The thought of death can do that to you. And that's what it did to me. And it opened me up. And this voice rose up in me. And when it said that the cancer was a gift, I began to question the cancer. I began to ask it what it wanted from me. I began a dialogue with it. And for me, it was the best thing I ever did. And Marcia talks about journaling and writing, and she knows I can write a sentence for a whole page. That's why she had to help me with the book. But I wrote about what the cancer was saying to me, and I realized that it was teaching me. And I realized when I put my defenses down, when I opened my heart, when I sent it love, when I sent myself love, things begin to change. You know, how we perceive things makes a difference. Perspective begets perception. Perception begets behavior and beliefs. And those behaviors and beliefs, they turn into our experience. And I realized what I was being given here. I was being given something I could use in my life as a tool to awaken, to open my heart, to release my anger and my grief and my resentment and my hostility, to forgive myself and others, and to allow my body the opportunity to heal. I began to understand that when we are not in a state of resistance and defending and fighting, but instead we put ourselves in a place of peace in God's hands, the body can heal. And not everyone will survive disease. I know this. I am one of the blessed ones. But healing isn't just about physical survival. The healing, the gift in the adversity that is being offered to us, regardless of what it is the opportunity to open our hearts to the God of us and to Source, to heal emotionally and spiritually. And if the physical healing comes, so be it. But if it doesn't, should it stop us from loving and being joyous in our lives when maybe we never had been before, for appreciating things we couldn't even begin to see before? This is why I say cancer saved me. It completely opened me. It completely changed me. And it was God working through me that allowed for that. We rarely talk about allowing and receiving. We're always doing and making things happen. But I learned that when we surrender, when we allow the love of God to move through us, we heal. But we have to be willing to receive that love. And we have to know in the depths of our soul that we are worthy. We are worthy for no other reason, because we are here. Every single one of us is worthy. And I never felt worthy until this experience happened to me. If I could leave you with any message at all today, it is to love more, to forgive more, to be more grateful just that you're taking your next breath, to share more, to embrace more, to allow, to receive more, to receive what life is pouring upon us every single moment of every single day. I had a mentor tell me one time that we have a spigot in our crown chakra. And we're the ones that open the spigot up. But unfortunately, most of us have the spigot at a drip. I opened my spigot, and it isn't always open. I fall down. I make mistakes. I get angry. I'm normal. I'm human. But these times in my life now I look upon as blessings and opportunities to rise above it again and again. And as I do, I feel more loved each time. This isn't about being perfect. It's not about doing it right. It's simply about the willingness to be available. Available to be healed however your soul has chosen that path. It's about gratitude, compassion, and patience for yourself. Caring of yourself and your body and allowing yourself to be present to the moment. And this is what I practice all the time. And I think God sends me a lot of little bumps in the road because I'm so willing to take them on now and embrace them. Be careful what you ask for, right? Yes. So take this journey, folks, with me. This is a wonderful house of spirit and God, and it lives in all of you. And I feel it so viscerally when I come here, and it's such a gift in my life. So cancer's given me many, many, many gifts. And it continues to give because I'm holding it that way. I encourage you to hold your life as a gift, all of it, every single bump, bruise, pimple, whatever. Hold it as a gift. Thank God for it. Ask what you need to learn from it. Embrace it, surrender to it, and watch your life change. God bless each and every one of you. Again, thank you so much for giving me this few minutes of your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So Brenda and I did bring some books, The Gift of Cancer, A Miraculous Journey to Healing. And just to be clear, you know, this was not some easy thing where Brenda said, well, I'm not going to do the chemo. I'll just, you know, take some herbs and, you know, eat some carrots and I'll be all good. You know, it was difficult. It was beyond difficult. And this journey that she went on to wellness, healing mind, body, spirit, is a powerful, powerful story. As I was writing it, I was overwhelmed with the gifts that I was getting from the process of doing that. And it's not just about the gift of cancer. It's the gift of any kind of adversity. It's a beautiful book about healing, about wellness, about being whole. And you'll get it. There's some interesting characters in the book. A couple of husbands, a couple of brothers, some parents, you know. And it's a powerful, powerful story. So please join us in the back. We'd love to talk to you and sign a book for you. I also brought some Fearless Women books, the pictorial books, if you're interested in those. I have those in the back as well. So thank you so much for having us today.
Here I am. Yeah, thanks. The adversity of dirty Kleenex. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you, Brenda. So much, so much. For opening yourself to share your truth, to share your journey, and to remind us that we are blessed. We are. That sounded so sweet. We're blessed. We can do a camping meditation with crickets because we're blessed. No matter what's going on, we are so blessed. So blessed. So blessed. Let's know this truth together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. That I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. We have affirmed the truth. We are so blessed. And take that image that Brenda shared with the spigot at the top of your head, at the crown chakra, and know that in this moment, in this safe, sacred space, you can open that. You can let the blessings and the gifts that are so abundantly yours pour in, pour through you as you. And just notice your breath as you surrender to these infinite blessings that are yours. Feel them pouring in, moving through you, swirling around you. Feel the tingle of your body. Every cell, every tissue, every atom is alive with God, God energy, continually multiplying, filling you to overflowing. And as we take an opportunity in this moment, in this space of truth, to allow this feeling to come forth in the silence, the silence. In the silence. As Frank B. Whitney once wrote, "My body is a temple rare, as is a place of holy prayer. My body is a temple rare, as is a place of holy prayer." And we consciously breathe in this moment, where we have been filled, replenished, revitalized, from taking just a moment of intention. And as we prepare to come back to this present moment, and this present moment, we take in a deep breath, and we release it all the way down through the soles of our feet. And for this time in deepened prayer, we say, "Thank you, God." And so it is. Amen.